Good morning. I trust all of you are still awake. I saw some of you dozing off there a little bit in between the announcements. Boy, I like this pulpit. I can see the front row. I can't say that everywhere I go. Oh, you know what that's like? Well, you know, some of you know that my wife is just a little taller than I am. And, you know, for some time that bothered me. But then I met Brother Comfort and his wife, and I've been comforted ever since. All right, if you would, please take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I can echo what Kevin said. I'm very thankful for the time that I've had here. It's changed my life, and not only my life, but it's changed my family. And it's amazing the impact that this place has had. And the faculty, the staff, and even the students have made a tremendous difference in our lives. And we're thankful for that. If you would, stand with me as we read the Word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll be reading from verses 9 and 10. Paul writes to Timothy this: "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." Thank you very much. You may be seated. Father, we're thankful to be here this morning, and I pray, Lord, that you will do a work in our hearts. We thank you for the message we heard from Brother Gilbert. Lord, we had no idea what each other would be preaching, but Father, it's obvious that you're in control. Father, you have promised that your word will not return unto you void. We trust that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Through the years, many have preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, much like the Apostle Paul has. In 2 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, Paul said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Now, many have preached that gospel message and have rightly called it the greatest love story ever told. Some would preach it from a text like John 3:16. All of us know it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Still others would preach it from a text like Romans 5:8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Some would preach it from a text like 1 John 4:10. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Every time God's love for man is mentioned in the Bible, it's a sacrificial kind of love. He sacrificed his Son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary for you and for me. And he went to that tomb and he rose again 3 days later, having victory over death, sin, and hell. And indeed, it is the greatest love story that's ever been told. But this morning, I'm not preaching that message. Do you realize that God is not the only one in the Bible who has loved sacrificially? Look at our text, verse 10, please. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." In 10 words, I just read to you the saddest love story ever told. What a contrast. God loved man sacrificially. That's the greatest love story ever told. But Demas loved this world. That's the saddest love story ever told. I'm preaching a message that I call the saddest love story ever told. Some time ago, I was speaking to a pastor in the area, and a pastor of one of these new emergent type churches. And I was encouraging him on this matter of biblical separation. And he honestly asked me this question. He said, "Isn't everything worldly since we're in the world?" The answer to that question is no. Jesus taught that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And any time there's a message preached on the world, there's always somebody in the crowd that says, "Well, your definition of the world might be different than mine." So I want to level the playing field and identify what the world is. The world is this world in which we live is the unregenerate of this earth that are organized and dominated by Satan. Satan is the god, little g, of this world. And let me go a step further. In this message, when I preach against the world, I'm also preaching against a worldly Christianity. Worldliness is when a Christian goes to that system to find their friendships. They go to that system to find their standards. They go to that system to find acceptance. And it's interesting to me that normally a Christian doesn't go to the world. They normally go to another worldly Christian to define those things. And so in this message, we're going to deal with worldliness. Demas was a worldly Christian. He forsook much when he let his heart go to the world. And I want you to notice what he forsook in this sad love story. Number one, he forsook his mentor. In verse 10, you'll notice some individuals by the names of Crescens and Titus. Now, they departed from Paul to do the work of the ministry. But then there's Demas. Demas is only mentioned three times in the Bible. He's mentioned in Colossians 4:14 in a greeting in a positive light. He's mentioned in Philemon 24 again in a positive light. And no doubt, Paul would have mentored this man, just like Paul had a habit of pouring himself into people. Paul took every opportunity to pour his life into somebody else. No doubt he would have done it for Demas. Now at this time, Paul is in this Roman prison. He's awaiting execution by the hand of Nero. At any moment, tradition says that he is to be beheaded and suffer a martyr's death. Can you imagine what it would be like to be the Apostle Paul at this moment? Could you imagine being in prison? I'm sure that his heart would beat just a little faster every time he would hear the footsteps of the Roman soldiers approach his cell. I'm sure every time he heard the keys jingle and jangle and the armor, he would wonder, is this it? Is this the moment of my last breath? Can you imagine the heart of Paul? It was at this time when Paul needed every friend he could get. It was at this time when Paul needed his friends on the sideline saying, hang in there, Paul, you're about to see your Savior. It's at this time when Paul needed every cheerleader that he could get. But Demas walked out on him. He let his mentor down. And when Demas forsook Paul for the world, he also forsook everything Paul invested in him. Here's a principle. Compromise will cost you your closest friendships. Most in this room have been mentored in the classroom and out of the classroom. People who have been taught of God for many years have poured themselves into you. They've poured themselves into me. And if you and I decide that we are going to go after what the world has to offer, we will be walking out on our dearest of friends. You'll be walking out on those who have labored and sacrificed to pay your school bill. You'll be walking out on those who have taken their time and taken their breath to bring your name before the throne of God. You'll be taking everything that they have done for you. They've tried to teach you to walk with the King, and to think that we would forsake that for a world that is ready to chew us up and spit us out. Demas did that. Demas forsook his mentor. You know, every faculty member here represents a broken heart. I've heard the stories. In fact, I've seen some take place since I've been here. There have been those who have walked out on their mentors. There have been those who have sacrificed everything that's been invested in them. I think about my pastor, Pastor Surrett. He's been my friend. He's been my pastor. He's been my mentor for the last 6 years. And I know that if I were to sell out and go out to the world, it would break his heart. But how much would it break the heart of Almighty God if I were to go to the world? And the same is true for you. Don't forsake your mentors. But also, I want you to notice that Demas forsook the ministry. He forsook the ministry. In Philemon 24, Paul refers to Demas as his fellow laborer. That's a good thing, to be a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. And unfortunately, when this book, 2 Timothy, was written, Paul can no longer say that. He can no longer say that. And when Demas forsook the ministry, he forsook a specific ministry that God had planned out for him. Demas not only cheated himself, but he cheated those that he was supposed to serve. Compromise will cheat those to whom you are called. Maybe you ought to write that in your Bible so you don't forget it. Compromise will cheat those to whom you are called. God has a specific ministry for each one in this room. He had one for Demas. He had one for Demas. Just think, God had it all laid out for Demas. There was going to come a day in Demas' life when somebody needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was going to come a day in Demas' life when somebody would be hurting and they needed the scriptures, they needed comfort. There was going to be a day in Demas' life when somebody needed to be prepared for the ministry. And Demas would have a part in that. But now what? But now what? Who's going to do that now? Demas left. You know, the truth is, there are people right now awaiting your ministry and the providence of God. And who are you and who am I to throw that away? To put our fist in the face of Almighty God and say, you have to find somebody else to stand in the gap. Who are we to do that? God has a ministry for you. You'll notice in verse 10 that Demas didn't just fall off the face of the earth. Would you look at the text? It says that he departed unto Thessalonica. Now, most of us know about Thessalonica, having studied it in the classroom. It was a metropolis. It was a trade city. It was a busy place with many people. And Demas decided to go there. Now, some scholars suggested that maybe Demas went there because he wanted to make money. Others said that, well, maybe he went there because he feared death, and so he went to Thessalonica. I don't believe that. The Bible says he loved this present world. That's why he went. But just think with me just for a moment. Use your imagination. I wonder, when Demas went to that city, if maybe he found a church. Now, I'm not talking about Thessalonians in our Bible, but just bear with me here. Maybe he found a church in that large metropolis. Maybe he found something. Maybe it was called the Thessalonica Community Church. And maybe there was just enough spirituality to appease his conscience. Maybe there was just enough truth to keep him interested. Maybe they came to him and they said, Mr. Demas, we realize that you've been trained in that old-fashioned fundamentalism, but we can work with that here. How would you like to serve on our staff? Maybe they would come to him and say something like, did you see that 2020 episode? Fundamentalism isn't worth losing your head over, is it? And somehow, maybe Demas just got involved in something like that. And maybe he could say, well, I'm still kind of in the ministry. But this I do know. Demas forsook the ministry that God had for him. There have been many who have started well, they finished well. They've started straight and they finished strong when it comes to school. Only to go out and find a different brand of Christianity. Mark it down. They're not in the ministry that God had for them. Demas forsook his mentor. He forsook the ministry. I also want you to notice that he forsook his master. When Demas forsook the ministry, he forsook the master of the ministry. When Demas gave his love to the world, He did not do so without ripping it from the hand of God. Compromise will challenge your love for God. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other, Matthew 6:24. According to your Bible, it is impossible to love the world and love your Savior at the same time. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of love that says, I've got to go out and win people to Jesus Christ. You know that's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is saying, I love Jesus, but at the same time, you're courting the world. It's impossible. You can't do it. Is Jesus your master today? Are you his servant? Brother Gentry, of course I'm his servant. Of course he's my master. I'm at Ambassador Baptist College. Well, if he is your master, anytime the Holy Spirit puts his finger on something in your heart, then you'll say, all right, Lord, you're my master. Now, I understand that most of this message has been exposing the problem. But I'm so glad that God doesn't just leave us there. He always has a solution. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's life and letter is coming to a conclusion. He reminds Timothy that he's been faithful, and I believe he reveals how we too can be faithful and how we can keep our hearts and our lives from being defiled from the world. Would you look at verse 8? Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also, that, get it, love his appearing. What a contrast between Paul and Demas. Demas loved this wicked world, but Paul loved his returning Redeemer. What a contrast. What a contrast. I believe you and I can avoid the sin of worldliness by focusing on the soon return of Jesus Christ. And you know, I find that this is a sanctifying thing. The more I grow and the more I know, the more I look forward to seeing my Savior again. When you and I decide to live our lives, and in spite of that fact that Jesus Christ could come back for me any moment, then we'll keep our lives pure. 1 John 1:1-3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Are you keeping your life pure from the world? Several years ago, I heard a pastor tell the story about when he was called into the ministry. He was a bank teller at the time, and often there was this insurance salesman who would come into the bank, and he would look at the clock, and he would go to the counter, state his business, and leave. He never smiled. He never talked to anyone. He would just make his transactions and leave. Upon hearing that this young man was called into the ministry, he asked him to come see him after work one day. And so he did. The young man went to the insurance man's office and sat down, and the elder gentleman began to speak. And he said, I understand that God has called you into the ministry and that you'll be going off to Bible college. The young man said, yes, sir, that's true. And at that moment, that insurance man's face began to weep. Tears coursed down his face. And he said to that young man, many years ago, God called me to be a missionary. And he said, I convinced myself that I could do more for God sending missionaries rather than being one myself. And that young man sat there and he said, I didn't know that he had a tear in his body. And through a veil of tears, that man said, do you know why you never see me smile? The young man said, no, sir. He said, I have been out of the will of God all these years. Are you sitting here ready to make a dollar? Are you willing to go to the world for the almighty dollar? Can I remind you of Mark 8:36? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Are you keeping your life pure from the world? If you are, then you're not going to let this world press you into its mold. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you keeping your life pure from the world? If you are, then you won't let the world control your convictions and your standards. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Are you keeping your life pure from the world? If you are, then you're not going to go there for your closest friendships, are you? James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be the enemy of God. Are you keeping your life pure from the world? And understand that we're not just talking about the sins of the flesh. There's also sins of the spirit that are of the world. Are you sitting here today with a heart that has rebellion pinned up? You can't wait to get out of this place. Are you sitting here today with some bitterness like Brother Gilbert brought up? Is there somebody that you're bitter with and somebody that you're angry at? I believe those things are keys to unlock the doors of our hearts to allow worldliness in. Are you keeping your life pure from the world? God's a jealous God because He loves you. He's serious about the world not having your love or devotion. 1 John 2:15, 16, 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are you keeping your love for God? I don't believe that Demas woke up one day and said, "This is it. I'm ready to forsake it all." I believe it was a gradual thing. What often happens is those seeds of compromise somehow get lodged in the heart. And then they begin to germinate and grow and ultimately take over a person's life. Are you keeping your heart pure today? I believe that if we keep our eyes looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we expect that soon return, we can avoid sacrificially loving this world. If there's anything I can say to you as I leave these halls of learning, it's this. Don't be a Demas. Or somebody might take 10 words to describe your life and call it the saddest love story ever told. Thank you.